does the mission of God get carried out in today's world? How can congregations emerge from their buildings, programs, and institutions and effectively engage their communities with the power of the gospel? What are the 8 hinges that help open churches' doors into their community? Join us today as I interview Reverend Terry Tiemann, Executive Director of Transforming Churches Network. We'll talk about the book, Hinges, Opening Your Church's Door to the Community. This is Kay Meyer, President of Family Shield Ministries, and your host for today's program. Welcome, Reverend Tiemann. Thanks for being my guest today.
Thank you, Kay. It's great to be with you.
Well, why did you write the book? You and others wrote the book, Hinges, Opening Your Church's Doors to the Community. Tell us why.
Well, Kay, this really is a culmination of everything that I've learned, and also my colleagues who helped write the book, Dwight Marable and David Bourne. It's really everything that we've learned over the past decade or so about helping congregations connect to their community, and especially for those churches that are struggling with reaching their community and maybe even declining in membership, how they can turn that around to become outward-focused churches.
And it is a different culture that we live in today, isn't it?
It really is. It's not the same as, even 20 years ago. But if you go back further than that, it's just changed tremendously. Many theologians today would say that we're living in a post-church culture, which simply means that the church doesn't have the influence that it once had. It used to be that when someone would move into a new community, one of the first things they'd do would be to look for a church, particularly one of a denomination that they had been part of in the past. But that really isn't true anymore. In fact, we have entire generations of people today who not only don't know the Bible, really have never been to church, but they really don't know who Jesus is and don't have a personal relationship with him. And so that's a big change from what it used to be.
You bet. Well, in your book, you flesh out 8 hinges. And before we actually begin doing that, explain to our listeners what you mean by hinges.
Yeah, you know, everybody, I think, knows what a hinge is. It opens a door, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you've thought about it, but door without a hinge is really a wall. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of hard to walk through a wall unless you're Jesus. You know,
yeah,
to do it.
Right.
We have trouble doing that. So the whole idea behind hinges is that they open doors. And it's not so much getting the doors to open into the church. We often think that's the main goal of the church, is to get more people inside, and certainly that's an important goal. But really this is about how do we get the people who are already inside the church to go out into their community and connect with people so that they can experience the love of Jesus Christ. And so our book is really based on John 10, verse 9, where Jesus says, I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And we know that part, but it's the second part that we usually forget, where Jesus says that then the sheep or the people will go in and out to pasture. So the idea is that once people come into the church, they come into a relationship with Jesus, they're fellowshipping with the church, we don't want them to just stay inside the church and get all fat and comfortable,
mm-hmm.
but we want them to go back out into the community and share the good news of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, with the other sheep who are still lost and unreached. So that's the idea behind hinges.
Great, great. Well, there are 8 hinges. Hinge number 1 is empowering God's people with works of service. Tell us about that hinge and what you do and what you share in your book about that.
Yeah, this hinge is the most important hinge. All of the other ones really swing open based on this first hinge. And this comes from Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, where St. Paul says that Christ gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. And then he gives the job description for pastors and really the leaders of the church. And that job description is to equip the saints for works of service to build up the body of Christ. So the idea is that the pastor and the leaders of the church, their main responsibility isn't to do all the ministry, but rather to equip, coach, train, mentor the members of the church so that they can do the ministry.
That's great. And in that section, you talk about three key skills of empowerment. What are they?
Well, those three key skills are to encourage, and in fact, the Greek word in Ephesians 4 means to encourage or build up. So we need to start with that. And that really is helping people identify their gifts, where their passion is and what they're good at in ministry. So to encourage people then to use those gifts, that's the first thing. Then the second is delegation, and that's really just giving away ministry. So often as pastors and leaders, we want to do everything ourselves. And we've been well trained. We're good at most of those ministry kinds of things. But if one person is doing everything, not that much can be done. We need to multiply that ministry. So when we delegate, we give it away to other people, and then we train them. That's the third part, so that they're well equipped. They know what they're doing. We've modeled it for them. We've done it with them. And then when they're comfortable and confident and have tried it a few times, then they can do it on their own. But really, we don't even want them to do it on their own. We want them to then take somebody else with them and repeat the whole cycle.
Good, good. Just like Jesus kind of taught and mentored the disciples.
Didn't he? For 3 years, exactly.
Yeah, I think we can learn a lot. I really think the early church was very different, much more like what you're talking about in your book than what we have today. That's great. Well, hinge number two is personal leadership. Tell us about that.
The idea with personal leadership is that if you're good at managing your own life and you are well balanced and healthy physically, spiritually, emotionally, and in your family systems, that you'll be a much more effective leader in the church as well. So it's simply recognizing, you know, how well am I doing in my own life, and then how do I leverage those same kinds of things in the leadership with the church.
Great, great. So healthy eating would be part of that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, if you look around, you know, there's a lot of folks today in ministry because it's very stressful. And oftentimes we, you know, we sit in meetings and so forth. It's easy not to eat well and not to be very healthy physically. So that's something to really take a look at. And it's not just, you know, the physical part, but, you know, also being in the Word, growing spiritually.
Sure.
Growing in knowledge, so, you know, reading and knowing what's going on in the world, and also having those emotional and family systems as healthy as possible.
Great, great. Well, hinge number three is visionary leadership. What do you mean by that?
Well, we need to make a distinction here between mission and vision. Most churches have a mission statement, but they think that's a vision, that they're basically articulating what they're going to be doing. But the fact is, the mission's the same for every church, and Jesus told us what it's supposed to be in Matthew 28, verse 19. He said, go, therefore, and make disciples. For as you're going, or wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, I want you to be making disciples. So that's mission. Vision is, what does that look like in this particular community through the ministry of this particular church? Mm-hmm. So visionary leadership is understanding who the targets are in your community, so which people are you going to start with in trying to reach, and then what's the strategy, how are you going to do it. And then finally, it's articulating that vision in such a way that everybody really understands it, and they get excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're all in this together. So the leaders that can do that well would score real high in the visionary leadership factor.
Wonderful, wonderful. And your hinge number four is bridge-building leadership. What does that mean?
Bridge-building leadership is about getting to know your community so you know what the needs are, and then knowing who the people are in the community and building relationships with them, especially some of the leaders in the community. So you're really building a bridge from the church into the community. And so the leaders of the congregation, and especially the pastor, have to model this for the church. It's really easy as a pastor or a church leader, staff person, to spend all your time in the office. But bridge building leadership means getting out of the office, building relationships with unreached and unchurched people, even sharing the gospel with them personally, finding out what the needs of the various groups are in the community, and then finding ways to bring people from the church with you into the community so you can start meeting those needs.
That's great. So these first four are kind of focused on the pastors and leaders of the congregation. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. And it doesn't mean that they don't affect the church, because they do, and they're really all interconnected. But the idea is, how well are the pastor and the leaders of the church doing in these four areas?
Okay, good. I want to mention, too, that after each of your chapters, you have questions that relate to each of these hinges, which are very helpful for people that might want to use the book as a Bible study and go through this, not just to read it, but to actually have some discussion about that.
Well, they really do work well in that capacity, and I never do anything without testing it and trying it myself, so I actually am using this book in my own small group in my church. And we're just having a blast. Mm-hmm. Of course, it helps, I guess, to have the author of the book in the group.
Yeah, that kind of does
I don't
help.
Know how it would work. Yeah. I'm sure it'd work well without the author there.
Oh, it'd still work. It would absolutely still work. Well, hinge number five, then, is community outreach. Tell us about that.
Yeah, and this is where we get into the congregation factors. So these are primarily about how the congregation is interacting with these factors. So community outreach really involves service projects or outreach events where a number of people work together from the congregation to meet needs in the community. And what we found is that if a congregation will do 4 to 6 of these every year, they will truly have a missional impact on their community. So you'll start seeing people actually coming to Christ. You'll see new people attending worship. You'll see lives changed, and you'll see your church really begin to make a difference in your community if you start doing some of these activities.
I loved the ideas that real churches did in your book. Just a couple of them. A dinner at the local fire department for the firemen and their families. I mean, what a great way to reach out into your community. And talking to area business owners and maybe praying with them. I don't remember the details. Prayer walking, a yard sale, a diabetes workshop, and baskets that you gave away, a Valentine's dinner dance. Just so many wonderful opportunities to share Christ in the community where the church is. I want to make a few announcements, and then we'll come back and continue talking about these hinges and also learn more about what else your organization offers to help churches go into the community to share Christ. Today, Family Shield is giving away the booklet, Live the Six, How to Be an Everyday Missionary. To receive your complimentary booklet, call our response center at 1-877-250-8416 or email witnesstofamily@gmail.com and give us your complete name and address. We also have three of the books, Hinges, Opening Your Church's Doors to the Community, to give away to our listeners. Sign up for the drawing by calling again that same number, 877-250-8416, or email us your complete name and address. The books will be mailed to you if you win the drawing. If you're a Thrivent Financial member, you can designate your Thrivent Choice dollars to support Family Shield Ministries. And I assume you are also a Thrivent Choice Dollars agency?
Yes, that's exactly right.
So they could also support Transforming Churches Network. And you can do that by going to the Thrivent website at www.thrivent.com/Thrivent Choice, or you can call them at 1-800-847-4255. 4836. And by the way, I understand you can designate more than one agency. So I think it's just a great ministry. And we just encourage you to remember that March 31st is the deadline for re-signing up for your Thrivent Choice dollars. And if you don't do it, that money goes nowhere. It's just money. If you're a member of Thrivent, that money goes to nonprofits of your choice. I encourage you to sign up to receive the Family Shield email newsletter. You can do that on our website at www.familyshieldministries.com. That newsletter shares radio topics and guests, our events, conferences, and devotions. So I want to go back to the program with Reverend Terry Thiemann. He is the Executive Director of Transforming Churches Network, and we've been talking about the book Hinges, Opening Your Church's Doors to the Community. You can order that book on Amazon or through their website, which is www.tcnprocess.com. And if you get more than one book, there's a discount if you purchase the book on their website. Now, we were talking about the hinges, and I want to continue doing that. But before I do, Pastor Thiemann, tell our listeners a little bit more about some of the other services that you offer through your Transforming Churches Network. What is the Seasons of Discovery?
Seasons of Discovery really is a compilation of everything that we have in our book, Hinges. And it is something that a congregation can do over a 2 to 3 year period. And so what we do in Seasons of Discovery is we have three tracks for a congregation. There's one for the pastor, and so we provide a curriculum for the pastor to go through, and it's all about leadership and outreach, many things that most of us as pastors really didn't learn at the seminary. And then there's a second track called People of Passion, and that's for those passionate people in the congregation who really want to see lost people come into relationship with Jesus Christ. And every church has those. So they're passionate about Jesus. They love Jesus. They love their local congregation and want to see it grow. And they love their community and they want to see more people from the community connect with their church. So we have 7 missional activities that they work through over a period of time, and they become kind of a yeast 11, if you will, for the congregation so that more people will get excited about outreach and get involved with them in those missional activities. And then the third track is for the whole congregation. There's sermons and Bible studies that they'll be able to participate in regularly. And there's outreach activities. These community outreach events will be planned, and they'll have the opportunity to join in them. So that Seasons of Discovery, it just takes all of these hinge factors and organizes them in an orderly way so that the congregation can move through them.
That's great. You also have consultations that you do with congregations?
Yes, we do, and we've been doing those for a number of years. We've done almost 300 of those around the country, and we call it the 1910 Project because it's based on Luke 19:10. Where it says, the Son of Man shall come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's really what it's about, to find ways for the congregation to connect to their community with the gospel. And it's kind of like going to the doctor, where the doctor will tell you, okay, here's where you're healthy, keep doing these things. But also, many times the doctor will tell us, you know, there's some places that we can improve our health. And so we do that for congregations. We come in, spend a weekend with them. And this would be after we've gathered lots of data that they've shared with us in the previous several months. And then we just give them recommendations or prescriptions. Here's what you need to do to get more healthy, to become a more outward-focused church. And then if they decide to accept those prescriptions, and we give them time to pray about it and talk about it, so then we will coach the pastor and the congregation through the process to implement those prescriptions that we've given to them.
That sounds great. And I'm sure you have other things that you do as well. Is there anything else that we want to share with our listeners before we go back to the finish up the hinges?
Well, I would like to just mention the hinge assessment survey.
Okay.
People might be wondering, well, I wonder how well we're doing in each of these eight hinge factors. Well, there's a way to find out. And all you have to do is take this survey, and it can be done online. All the information's on our website. And you'll get scores in each of the eight factors. And then we'll spend some time with the pastor and leaders of the church to explain what those scores mean and give some suggestions on what they can do to improve in the factors where maybe they need to work on a little bit.
All right. That's great. You have some great resources for congregations. Thank you so much. Let's go back then. We had just finished talking about Hinge 5, which was community outreach. Hinge 6 is functional board. What does that mean?
This really deals with the governance structure of the congregation. And really, at its essence, it's about leadership. So how do we equip the leaders of the congregation, and this would be particularly the lay leaders, but how do we help the leaders make sure the congregation is moving forward toward that vision that they have said that God has given to them and that they want to carry out? And then how do we hold them accountable for making sure the congregation is moving in that direction? So that's really what functional board is all about. It's just to help the congregation accomplish the mission and vision that God has given to it and just see if they're on track as they move toward that vision.
That's great. That's great. And hinge number 7 is focused prayer. What do you mean by that?
Every congregation knows that they should be engaged in prayer. Most churches are really quite good at that and spend a lot of time in prayer, whether it's personal or corporate. But it's usually focused more inward than outward. Mm-hmm. So in other words, they're praying for their own needs and also the needs of their family and friends, which, of course, is things we should be doing. But what's usually neglected there is the community itself. So focused prayer is praying for the lost and the unreached by name where possible, and also just for the needs of the community, whatever that might be. So it helps the congregation focus outside of itself on the people who really need what the church has to offer.
That's great. It's always been one of my frustrations is so many of the prayer chains will talk about health issues, but sometimes that same person that has had a heart attack is not a Christian, and they forget to add that. And God answers our prayers, but he wants us to pray for those that don't know Christ. So focused prayer, not only praying by name, but praying for the lost, praying for those that don't know Jesus. Great.
Yeah, I think the old joke is that, we're very good at praying to keep people out of heaven. So we we pray for the sick to, keep them here with us longer.
Oh,
which,
yeah.
Of course, is a natural thing to do. But we really need to, pray people. That more people would go to heaven.
You bet. Oh, my goodness. So your hinge number 8, the last one, is inspiring worship. What do you mean by that?
Well, sometimes people think that, what we're really doing here is advocating a particular style of worship, and that's not the case at all. What we're really doing is just lifting up that worship needs to be inspiring. And, of course, wherever two or three are gathered in Jesus' name and the word is preached and the sacraments are administered, we know that God's there and active. But sometimes it doesn't feel that way. So inspiring worship is the kind of worship where people really feel the presence of God and then are motivated to act on what they've heard and share the good news of Jesus with others. So, obviously, if we're inspired in worship, then we're going to want to invite others to come and worship with us, and we're also going to be motivated to get out into the community and share what we've learned with others. So that's what we mean by inspiring worship.
That's great. And so those last four hinges from 5 to 8 are more focused on the congregational members. Is that correct?
Yes, that's exactly right. The first four are really about the pastor and the staff and also some of the volunteer leaders in the church. And then the other four are about the members of the congregation and how they're interacting with themselves but also with the community. So it's what are they doing as far as you know, sharing the love of Jesus with other people.
Okay, great. Well, as we still have a little bit of time left, I shared a few of the outreach, community outreach activities that I read about in your book. But can you just share maybe one or two that you have had congregations do and tell our listeners a little more about them?
Yes, one of my favorites is what we call Service Project Sunday, or sometimes Faith in Action Sunday. And the idea is to maybe shorten your regular worship service or services over the weekend a bit so that you'll have more time to actually get out into the community. So this has to be organized in advance, so you'll have several projects ready to go, and then you send the entire congregation after a short worship service, out into the community. And they might do anything that ranges from picking up trash to handing out bottles of water, you know, things like that that are pretty simple. One of my favorites was we had a group that went out and cleaned toilets.
Oh, wow.
at area gas stations. Oh. That actually led to the beginning of a homeless ministry.
Oh, wonderful.
Stories in the book, so people can
Yeah, I remember
that,
reading that. That's right. That's great. Well, our time is just about up. Again, my guest has been Reverend Terry Thiemann. He is the executive director of Transforming Churches Network. And the book we've been talking about is Hinges, Opening Your Church's Doors to the Community. A great book with lots of good information that will help you if you are a church leader, a pastor, or an elder of a church. If you're interested in outreach and you're a member, this is a book that you could also share and take to your church and just learn and grow and learn more about Transforming Churches Network as well. And I want to mention again their website. That's www.tcnprocess.com. You can order the book on their website. You can also order it at amazon.com. And again, you can learn more about Family Shield Ministries at www.familyshieldministries.com. This is Kay Meyer. We're glad you've been listening, and have a great day.
You've been listening to Family Shield, a production of Family Shield Ministries. Its mission is to educate and equip people through the power of the gospel to know Christ, grow in His Word, and to strengthen individuals and their families. To learn how you can obtain resources or support the ministry, go to www.familyshieldministries.com or write Family Shield Ministries, P.O. Box 230015, St. Louis, Missouri 63123. And tune in again next week for Family Shield.